Today's scripture reading comes from the 22nd Psalm, verses 1 through 5 and 11 through 21. Hear now these words of Holy Scripture. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night and am not silent. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. In you our fathers put their trust. They trusted in you, delivered them. They cried to you and were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions, tearing their prey, open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is turned to wax. It is melted away within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. But you, O Lord, be not far off. O my strength, come quickly to help me. Deliver my life from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. These are the words of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you very much, John, for a beautiful reading of that passage of Scripture. That's a remarkable psalm, and we have seen it on occasion. And we only probably remember the psalm because of the first words in the first verse. My God, why have you forsaken me? But we don't spend much time on the psalm, so I thought, well, today would be a good day. You know, it's a nice day to be indoors and to spend an hour or two with Psalm 22. But we don't have that much time. Ah, do not be far from me. The trouble is near and there is no one to help. Many bulls encircle me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion, the running of the bulls. Maybe one bull. The walking of the bulls. You lost it? Okay, that's the sermon for the day. Well, I'd say we'd go eat donuts, but we don't have any to eat, and you would rather be here than, you know. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord God, for calling us together, for loving us and sharing your love and life with each of us, and for giving us your holy word. May the mystery and majesty of its message touch us as we gather this day. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And about 3:00, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And when some of the bystanders heard it, they said, this man is calling Elijah. And at once one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But others said, wait, let us see whether Elijah will come and save him. And then Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. For most of us, the only introduction we have to Psalm 22 are the agonizing words of Jesus from the cross. And that's how we understand that whole psalm. We've never really looked at it in depth. It's a psalm attributed to David. And if you look at the top of the page, you'll see that it even says to the director under the name of the psalm and the possibility of a hymn tune that might be used for the singing of this particular psalm. Like the psalms, they were written to be sung, and this one was one of them. It's a psalm really about, it's a prayer of lament if you take a look at it. It starts off that way anyway. Attributed to David, it is filled with the anguish that David suffers. David suffers long and prolonged attacks with his enemies, whom he has not provoked and from whom the Lord has not delivered him. It's all about David's anguish on the one hand, but then you look at the end of the psalm and it's all about thanksgiving and praise and happiness. We don't know where to begin or where to end. Loosely paraphrased, we hear David pray, my God, you've forsaken me and you decline to help me even as I roar out to you in my distress. I cry out to you night and day, yet you don't answer me or give me any rest from my troubles. God, please answer me. Please be with me. I wonder if there are times in our lives that we too experience the absence of God. Those times that take place in our lives in the midst of personal pain when we feel like no one is around. Not only human companionship, not somebody to touch me and hold me in the midst of pain, but God has abandoned me. God isn't around. I pray, there are no answers. I search and I can find no one. I plea and there's no one to help me. In the midst of great loss, we feel much like Jesus in his last moments. My God, why in the world have you let me to die alone? I've often talked about farm life, and I do it because it's the one thing that always comes back to me time and time again. I guess if when you were raised on a farm, there's something about living there that you carry with you all your days. And if you were to go from Halifax to Carsonville, just before you get to Carsonville, you take a left. Many of you know where that is, right there on the left-hand side of that road, up there in Carsonville, Pennsylvania. And if you look up that dirt road, there's a mailbox right here, but if you look that, you go about a half a mile up that dirt road. There isn't anything else to be found there, except that house where we lived. Oh, yeah, and the pig pen and the chicken coop. And right down there was the... On the other side was the outhouse, but we had it papered and it looked really nice, except in the winter time like this. And when my folks were gone for any length of time and I came home on the bus by myself and had to wait for them to return, and I was just a little child at that time. We didn't have after school daycare or anything like that. We were lucky to have school, I think. But I would go in the house by myself. And as soon as it started to get dark, see, I'm remembering this, and this is more than 50 years ago. I would be terrified because it was getting dark and they weren't home. And I was so alone, and I didn't know where to turn. My brother, who was 7 years older than I, was always away. He was never at home. I felt like I'd been abandoned. And I prayed, even at that early age, that Mom and Dad would come home soon because I was really, really afraid. And there are times in life when we're really, really afraid. And we call out, as David did. and there doesn't seem to be anyone there. One preacher put it this way, and I thought it was pretty good. Truth is that sometimes we feel as though we've been hit with a double bird strike and we're about to go down in the Hudson, and no one can prevent it from happening. The experience of one woman may help us get into the meat of Psalm 22. It's a wonderful story. An exhausted young mother. We have some of them here today. Just tiring out. I mean, the rat race is demanding. You're moving from very early in the morning to late at night. It's one thing after another. She finally dragged herself to the telephone when it rang, and listening with relief to the kindly voice on the other end of the line, "How are you, sweetheart? What kind of a day are you having?" Oh, that's what she needed, that wonderful voice on the other end of the line. "Oh, mother." "Mother," said the woman, "you know, I've been having such a bad day. Mom, it's just been a rotten day. The baby won't eat. The washing machine broke down. The house is a mess. We're having two couples over for dinner tonight, and I haven't had a chance to go shopping yet. And to top it off, I sprained my ankle and I can hardly get around. It's just been an awful day." And the mother was overwhelmed with sympathy. She said, "Oh, honey, sit down and relax and close your eyes. I'll be over in a half an hour. I'll do the shopping for you, and I'll clean the house and cook the dinner for you. I'll feed the baby, and I'll call the repairman to fix the washing machine. Now, just stop crying. I'll do everything that you need to have done. In fact, I'll even call Sean at the office and ask him to come home and help. I'll be there shortly." "Sean?" asked the housewife. "Who's Sean?" "Why, your husband, of course. You mean Jim, don't you? You'll call Jim at the store? Isn't this Julie?" "No, it's Lindy." "Oh," said the caller, "I must have dialed the wrong number. I'm so sorry." And there was a long, long pause, a long silence. And then the young, desperate homemaker asked, "Does this mean you're not coming over?" There are times like that. We just wish somebody would call. But more importantly, we wish somebody would come over. If somebody could hear me in my anguishing cries, if somebody could have heard me that night when that stroke took place and Carolyn was in the hospital, but I was so alone. If somebody could hear me when the baby fell and no one was around and I didn't know where to turn. If somebody could hear me when he said, "I want out of this marriage. I'm going to have a new future." If somebody could hear me when Mom died. If somebody could hear me when I had to be away for a year from my family. If somebody could hear me and come over and understand. A long silence. And the psalmist says, "Many bulls encircle me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me, and they open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and the bulls are running." Bashan was a region of ancient Israel, northeast of the Sea of Galilee, and today it's in southeastern Syria. It's a real place, by the way, with real people. It was a high, rich, grain-producing land, a land of great oaks and sheep and rugged men and huge cattle. I mean, they're big cattle. I was reading an article the other day about one of the largest dogs in the world. Now, this wasn't cattle, but I've been thinking about it. I gather this dog was something like 3.5 feet high and 7 feet long. And I think he was in competition for a world record of the size of a dog. Now, I don't know about the size of these particular cattle, But I'd like to think in my mind's eye, they were mighty fine steers. They were mighty fine cattle. They were mighty fine bulls. Man, what a place. Rugged men, huge cattle. And I don't want to carry the cattle thing to its extreme, but I want to say this, that sometimes the cattle, the bulls that were in the pen would get out of the pen. They didn't have enough people to keep track of them all the time, and they wandered wildly around the meadows. And sometimes they became wild when left unsupervised, and some unsuspecting person may be caught in the weary eyes of a maddening bull. While the bulls of Bashan were a reality for these ancient people, they are only a metaphor for us, because we understand when the bulls run. They represent the demands that we cannot ignore. There are those things we are required to do, and no matter how much we would like to forget them, they are always there. The bulls represent the obligations we cannot get out of. You know what they are. You have them every day of your life. Duties we cannot shirk, responsibilities we cannot evade, and the bulls keep running after us time and time again. The Gazette pointed out in the newspaper the other day, with great words at the top of the paper, if you saw it, devastating. The bulls are running. Devastating. That the city will be $29 million in a shortfall as far as its budget this year. And we hear this all over the place. The economic downturn affects us all. For some, making mortgage payments becomes harder to pay. With breadwinners having to decide whether we'll pay the mortgage or pay the heating and lighting bill and put bread on the table. We have to make a decision which we're going to do. 16 million homeowners currently owe more on their mortgage than their homes are worth. Isn't that traumatic? We used to always think of this upward spiral of our home values, and now we may owe more for them than they're even worth. We heard from Diana Eiler, still a member of this church living in San Antonio, Texas. She talked about the price of homes there just recently. There's a home that went on the market that was listed for $214,000. And this was just down the street from them. She said the person who bought it paid $184,000 for it. We're paying for homes which are worth less than when we bought them. Food banks are running low on bare essentials. Over 7 million jobs have been cut across the nation, and many of them will not be filled again. 7 million jobs. It is said that what? There are 6 unemployed workers for every single job that's available in our land today. And the bulls are running. And people are afraid and terrified. The bulls are running in our homes and in our communities. And people with needs are everywhere, and they intersect our own family. And I didn't know about this group of people until I read about it recently, and I thought, I'm part of this group. It's called the sandwich generation. Have you heard that? It's now officially a phrase designated by Merriam-Webster, and July has officially been designated as Sandwich Generation Month. You may be part of this. I know I am. I'm part of this generation. These are the people, usually middle-aged. That includes many of us gathered here today, who have the responsibility of not only caring for our own children, but for caring for our parents as well. I won't ask you to show your hands, because some of you have that responsibility. The sandwich generation, we're caught right in the middle of having to care for our kids and care for our parents. And what an awesome responsibility, and the bulls are running because we don't know which way to go. We have to care for our loved ones at home, the ones who need us so desperately, who are growing up, and yet there's mother and dad who demand more and more of our time, more of our energy, so we can handle everything the right way. We provided a home for them for the last 15, 17 years of their life. while our kids were still growing up. We were there with them when individually, 7 years apart, they died in a hospital. We had to take care of all of that, as well as take care of the needs of our children who were growing up and going to school and getting ready for college and doing all the things that children do. And the bulls were running. They ran for us and they were on for you. The responsibilities that we face. And the bulls are running in our nation and the nations across the globe as natural and man-made calamities destroy families and communities and entire populations. We're not talking about a couple of hundred people. We're talking about millions of people across the globe wiped out by natural calamities and human-made calamities. My God, why have you forsaken me? And we cry together, not knowing where to turn. And along with the psalmist, we too ask God, do not be far from me, for trouble is near and there is no one to help. And along with David, we say, come quickly to my aid. But then all of a sudden, the scene changes. Wait a minute, we can't get a hold of this. It's not, everything changes. The bulls are running and now all of a sudden we're in the midst of the congregation lifting praises high. Oh my gosh, it's remarkable. The rest of the psalm unfolds. And in the quietness of God, we begin to feel a strength that we have not felt before. And from the Message translation comes these wonderful words. Praise the Lord, all you fear him, who fear him, for he has not ignored the sufferings of the needy. He has not turned and walked away. He has listened to their cries for help. Or as the New Revised Standard Version translates it, he heard when I cried to him. What's that? He heard when I cried to him. I thought he didn't hear me at all. But all of a sudden, the celebration is just the opposite. In the midst of my anguish and the running of the bulls, he heard. Just as God heard our Master when he cried out in pain. If Jesus was capturing the essence of Psalm 22, it did not end with, my God, why have you forsaken me? It ended with, in the midst of the silence, there was an absolute dependency on the God who would never forsake him. In our weakness, we get our greatest strength because we are more dependent on God than we ever have been. That's what Paul found in his own ministry. In our moments of greatest weakness, when we're most vulnerable, that's when we depend on God. And God says, gotcha. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff will comfort me. Remember the testimony of Isaiah, beautiful words. Have you not known, have you not heard that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth? He does not grow faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youth will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Oh God, I've been waiting. You need not wait any longer. And your strength will be renewed, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint on eagles' wings. We will be weary, and we will see the bulls run, but even in our most anxious moments, God will come quickly to our side. And in our moments of greatest need, God will never, ever desert us. And with Paul, we too will proclaim, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. The good news for us today as we read Psalm 22 is very simple. The bulls will run, but they'll never catch you.